Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Our next guest is working on a book about rugby, about the people that play it, that support it, the players and fans that live and breathe our national game. Oh yeah, another book about rugby. But what makes this book unique is it only focuses on some of them, the women. Dr. Jennifer Curtin works her day job in the politics department at Auckland University, but for the past year she's been putting together the book detailing women's engagement with rugby from 1840 to the present. Jennifer joins us now. So Jennifer, the Black Ferns really put the men's team to shame this week. This is their fourth World Cup win in a row, which is all of them. They've only ever lost three international games. A pretty succinct example there of how ingrained the sport is for women in New Zealand, yeah?
That's right, yes. And actually they did lose one World Cup, the first one. So they've done four in a row. But
so they're like the opposite of the All Blacks, aren't they?
That's right. They won their first and haven't won one since. Yeah, I think the girls are a shining example of the way women's rugby has continued to develop over time, especially considering the amount of resources that they get. They're probably the most efficient rugby team we have in that sense.
So they won their fourth World Cup, but how many people knew or saw it? Or
yeah, know? this is really hard to tell. The Rugby Channel was the only channel that featured the game. And it's kind of interesting because the Rugby Channel isn't an intuitive channel to go to for women's sport, obviously, and so you had to subscribe to get it. So I took out a special subscription so that I could watch all the matches. And over the course of their pool matches, there wasn't a lot of press coverage about how they were doing. So one particular day I looked at one of the daily newspapers and there was a lot of discussion about the US Open in the first week, which isn't necessarily a big deal either. John McEnroe talking about women and whether or not they can play five set matches and how much prize money they get. And the Black Ferns just got a tiny little box off to the side that said, yes, they won their match against Wales. So really, then they don't get the same attention as any level of men's rugby, you'd have to say. The college boys' first 15 gets more coverage than the women.
That's true. I mean, you can see on most weekends on TV, Wairarapa Bush versus Hotafenua Bay or something like that, the grassroots things on free-to-air. But there was a reasonable amount of media coverage when they won, wasn't there?
Oh, absolutely. We're always prepared to claim winners. I'm not sure how it would have gone if they hadn't won, what sort of coverage they would have got. Then whether the resources story, which is now coming out, like have they got enough resources to keep doing this? Because we know the British women or the English women are, if not semi-professional, they're certainly getting, you know, £15 million a year or some estimated figure like that's going into women's rugby in England compared to very little, you know, here. And what the women who won on the weekend are worried about is that the other countries are now catching up and that we can only rely on our flair and our fitness and our, you know, intuitive rugby spirit for so long.
Is it purely a gender issue? I mean, the reason that there isn't the same focus, the same funding, that sort of thing on women's rugby, do you think?
I don't have a point of comparison, I suppose. I'm assuming it's gender because there are different ways in which rugby overall is funded by the NZRU. So there are different levels of competition, and obviously the Super 14 franchisees are professional and the All Blacks are professional and the NZRU manages those. And then we have the ITM Cup for men, which is semi-professional or amateur, really. So some of the professional guys play in that comp, but most of the guys that play in that comp are not professional. And then we have the secondary schools competition, which is administered differently and so on. What's happened with women's rugby is that governance-wise, it's sat in a little bit of a limbo. So the Black Ferns aren't professional, but they're not amateur. They're one of our elite teams. So they sit under the NZRU, but they don't get the kind of funding and even their coaches aren't sort of full-time paid coaches and so on. And then at the next level down, you jump right to club level to see women's teams playing. And not all clubs and not all unions. Of the 26 unions, there's probably only about 8 that have premier women's sides.
The Black Ferns don't even have a website. You know, I was looking for information about them and it's the All Blacks website with a tiny little button that says,
yeah,
you know.
But actually the NZRU website is kind of a roadmap to other websites rather than a website in its own right.
Did you watch the Women's Rugby World Cup?
Yes, I did.
And was it interesting? Because I guess that's the big thing. People don't watch women's rugby because I guess they think it's not interesting. It's not as good as the men's stuff.
Well, I don't know how many people have watched a game of women's rugby to make that claim. What I'm wondering is this, that they make that claim because they assume it before watching it. But women's rugby is extremely interesting and vibrant in the sense that they are technically very good. You can kind of go for a whole 20 minutes in a game and there'll be no biffo and there'll be no...
That's probably the lack of testosterone, I'd say.
Yeah. But also they're not brought up playing rugby necessarily from age 5 in the way many boys are. And so then they learn the game technically, and then they play a physical game, but also a running game. And actually, what's happened is we could almost say that the men's game is starting to look more like the women's game rather than the other way around.
What's the sort of uptake? One of the reasons I asked the question before about whether it's just a gender thing is when we're comparing men's rugby and women's rugby, we're not really comparing apples with apples, are we? Because presumably women's rugby has far fewer players at all levels. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's true.
Because, would compare...
So it's just a numbers issue. That was what you meant the alternative was.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. You might say that our ping pong team doesn't get much...
Sure.
National, our ping ferns or whatever they're called. I don't know what they'd be called. But, and so it's not necessarily a sex thing or gender thing. Do you think that's a possibility? Because I look at, say, netball, for example, which has massive followings. It's got professionalism. It's got, but that's got a huge level of club support, doesn't it?
Yes, I suppose. Okay, so there are about 8,000 girls and women that play rugby in New Zealand.
How does that compare? With netball and with men's rugby?
Oh, netball is the national women's sport. There's no doubt about that. So we can't compare women's rugby with netball because, that's how we think about netball, is that it's our national women's game. Mm. But our national game is rugby, And so I think certainly we could use the numbers argument, but... And I know that there have been arguments about part of the reason why you don't pull a lot of resources into rugby is because women's rugby is because it's not generating income. It's the men's game, especially at the top level, generates money for the NZRU. But then if we wanted to grow our number of girls playing rugby from 8,000 to 16,000 over the next 10 years, then perhaps we'd need to invest money. So it's not a zero-sum game, I suppose, in that way.
Now, this book you're writing is not just about people that play rugby. It's just, women that are interested in rugby. There was an interesting statistic Martin Sneddon pulled out in the paper over the weekend. He said 40% of the population is either indifferent to rugby or actively dislike it. I wonder if most of them are women.
I don't know where they get these, how they do these surveys. I didn't see the
Colmar Brunton, probably.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know. I didn't see the Martin Sneddon one. I do follow, every now and again in the Herald or the Sunday Star Times, you'll see little stories about rugby's in crisis, and people don't care and that sort of thing. But I'm not sure that they are all women. Like the women, admittedly, for my book, I'm only interested in women who love rugby. So I'm only interested in talking to them. There's already lots of stories out there about the way soccer mums have come to take their boys out of rugby and those sorts of things. So there's plenty of feminist work out there too that, talks about rugby in ways that make it, problematic for women to engage with. It's not a game that's, kind to women in all sorts of ways like that, off-field as well as on-field. Those are not the stories right now that my interest is in trying to get a sense of how women have contributed to growing rugby as the national game, because that's obviously really important to understand. If it's a national game, then it has to appeal to women and men.
When was the first time women played rugby in New Zealand on any sort of official level?
Oh, official?
Well, maybe not. Okay. When was the first time women played rugby in New Zealand?
There was a hint of a team emerging in 1891. So, but I'm saving this for the book, so I'm not going to tell you everything about it. But, and it caused a real controversy, and it was going to be...
Showing your ankles back then caused controversy.
Absolutely. And what was really interesting is in the story of this team, the woman who was the manageress was asked what they would wear, and she was talking about knickerbockers and tights, which is kind of what the guys wore. And this predates the dress reform essays that were being written by key women suffragists and so on at that time. So we have a long history of women's participation as fans and players, actually.
Look, that's fantastic. That's all we've got time for on the show today. When's the book going to be out?
When I get a publisher.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And if you've got any stories to share about women in rugby, Jennifer would like to hear from you. You can get in touch with her, j.curtin, C-U-R-T-I-N, at auckland.ac.nz. After the break, we go to the Silver Scrolls.